Jacob.
Okay. So, yeah, this is our, believe it or not, only our second shiur on the topic. I'm sorry for the little delay between, the little gap between last year and this year. Thank God for good reasons. Yeah, just a quick, summary of where we were, just so we can, move forward. So basically, we were in the middle of this, the sugya of, right, the Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos, and right, we had actually Kol read beautifully, basically the, all the Makoros, listed on Pehei and Aleph to Pehei and the Beis. Basically the Gemara was listing all the various potential Makoros for the Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh, and the, what seems to be the Pashpshan is that the Maskana of the Gemara is that we go with the Drasha of Chaybeh. That's the Pashpshan. So basically, I want to say that it's very important to take a step back and try to look at the Rishonim, look at the Mefarshim to see which Makor they think stands L'maskana, and then based on the Makor which they choose L'maskana, that's going to have a very large impact in terms of the nature and scope of the Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh. So in short, to summarize, you basically have the first approach, which we saw last time, which we documented last time in a number of Rishonim, and Achronim, is that the Pashpshat is that the makor of the makor for the Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh is the makor of V'chaybehem, and then we developed separately that if the makor is V'chaybehem, then what is the value at stake? What is the value behind the Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh? Not everybody at once. Exactly, it's the value of Kedusha Tachan, right? The value of human life, that is the value at play, and that is Doche, all these mitzvahs. That was the first new approach. Then we just started the second approach, which basically said that although, the Pashtra and the Gemara seems to reject all the earlier Makoros in favor of the Chaim Bem, right, the second approach of Mepharshim basically say, wait a second, it's not so simple that the earlier Makoros are completely rejected. And we're going to see a number of Mepharshim who basically cite some of the earlier Makoros, even the Maskana. So first we're going to document and see those Mepharshim inside, and then we're going to get back to the obvious question of how do these Mepharshim learn the Gemara? The Gemara seems to reject those earlier Makoros. How are they going to learn the Gemara? So the first first example within this larger second approach of Mepharshim taking these earlier Makoros, even the Maskana, we already discussed last time, is the Tashbetz, right? So again, the Tashbetz is the only, as far as I know, who goes with the Makoros, the earlier Makoros, within the second and third Makoros of the Kal V'chomer from Pikuach Nefesh being Docha Avoda, and the Kal V'chomer from Mila. Again, that's the way the Tashbetz says it, and the Tashbetz's focus is on, therefore, since the Makor is the Heter from Avoda and the Heter from Mila, he says, therefore, he derives from those Makoros that the nature of the Heter Pikuach Nefesh is Betorah's Hutra. We discussed that last time. Fine. The other, normative version of the second approach is to choose which Makor. Which Makor do we find a number of Mepharshim taking? Exactly. Right. The Makor of Chalal Shabbos Achas, Kedei Sheyishmor Shabbosos. And we're going to see before we even see these Mepharshim inside, just take a step back to understand what are the conceptual implications. So I pointed out before that if the Makor is V'chaybehem, then the value at stake is the value of what we call Kedusha Sachayim, right? The value of human life as a distinct value which trumps the value of these shar mitzvahs, right? All these other mitzvahs. But if you think that the Makor is really this Svara / Drasha of Chalel Shabbos Achas Kadesh Yishmor Shabbos Harbe, so how would you formulate the Svara of Pikuach Nefesh? What's the idea? Any suggestions? What's the Svara behind the head of Pikuach Nefesh according to this?
A life of quality.
What?
A life of quality.
Okay, that's a Mechudish way of saying it. I like that. But I'd say more simply, just literally, Chalel Shabbos Achas, what's the Kedei, right? We're going to Chalel one Shabbos, Kedei, right? The purpose of that is what? Kedei Sheyishmor Shabbos Harbin. So what do you think the pushback of that is?
Well, that is a good way to ensure a better end game for your staff.
That's sort of what Brian. It's so funny you guys are taking like a very nechudah.
Okay.
What's the simple one?
Okay, Pashup Shad. It's like the amount of like Avodas Hashem that you can do like over the course of your lifetime is what like dacha is what causes pikuach nefesh to be dacha.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. In other words,
it's one Shabbos versus many Shabbos.
Exactly. Meaning it's an internal consideration. Now you're just translating it. That's as simply as it is. Meaning, before we were saying there's a clash of values. There's Shabbos, but then you know there's an overriding factor called you know the value of human life. That's the V'chai Behem approach. According to this, it's not pressure counter pressure. There's not a, you know, a contravening value, an overriding value. It's an internal consideration, internal calculation within Shabbos itself, right? We're trying to figure out whether we should be mechalal Shabbos in order to save a life. So the answer is from an internal Shabbos perspective, it's better to be mechalal the Shabbos because being mechalal this Shabbos facilitates more kiyumi Shabbos in the future. So according to the svar of mechalal Shabbos achas kedek shishim or Shabbos harbe, it's an internal consideration. I mean, don't say, oh, don't be mechalal Shabbos in order, you know, to, you know, and let the guy, I mean, don't say, oh, you know, let's uphold the value of Shabbos and let the guy die. Because you're saying, even from the perspective of the value of Shabbos, being mechalal, this Shabbos is the best way of advancing the value of Shabbos. Because one chil now will facilitate many more kiyumim in the future. So according to this, all right, the second approach of with the one that, the normative one that focuses on this svar of mechalal Shabbos achas kedei shishim or Shabbos harbe. Again, it's not two values, one value overriding the value of Shabbos, right? The value of, you know, kedushas achayim overriding Shabbos. It's just that, no, from an internal calculation, internal to, you know, the value of Shabbos is that it's worth it to be mechalal one Shabbos because you'll be able to facilitate more kiyumei Shabbos in the future. Yeah.
So according to that, it would seem that being mechalal Shabbos in order to save someone's life wouldn't be considered a chilul Shabbos at all.
I wouldn't say that it's not a chilul Shabbos, but I would say from the broader perspective of Shabbos, it's worth it. You're trying to say like a hutra to chuyah?
Yeah, I mean, but the svara,
I don't know.
But you're making that svara, that's what it seems to sound, that's what it sounds like.
Lav dafka. Again, it could be. You could say that, oh, you know, we view chilul Shabbos in terms of like the aggregate, you know, in terms of, you know, the big picture, and therefore, you know, if this chilul is, you know, facilitating more kiyumim, therefore there's no chilul. But you don't have to say that. You can still say that, you know, Maisa, you bring mechalal Shabbos now, we'll do that. It's worth it to have that chilul, repertoire to chuyah, in order to facilitate more kiyumim in the future. But it doesn't have to be hutra.
I would understand that other way of explaining it, the way that you're explaining it, if you were to say that it's a global principle that applies to all mitzvahs.
Oh, so we're going to get to that.
But if you don't say the global principle that applies to all mitzvahs, I don't understand why it would only apply to Shabbos.
Okay. You're going to say, but Pashas does apply to other mitzvahs. Right? Because the Heter Pikuach Nevesh isn't limited to Shabbos. Or the Heter Pikuach Nevesh is docha, besides the big three, it's docha every mitzvah. So that's why it doesn't seem to be. So again, but I still think you still have the svara. It's an internal mitzvah calculation, whether it be Shabbos or whether it be any other mitzvah. It's an internal mitzvah calculation that it's worth it to be mechalal that mitzvah once in order to facilitate the kiyum of that mitzvah in the future. So again, this is why you're going to see, you know, the which makor you choose, what we're discussing now, is a, you know, a major impact in terms of the nature of the pikuach nefesh. Again, is it facilitating an alternative value of human life, a kedushas achayim, or is it just facilitating, you know, from the bigger picture, even facilitating, you know, the kiyum of that mitzvah itself? But beyond, you know, that conceptual question, we're also going to see, you know, in just a few moments, it also has major, you know, major nafkamina. Yeah.
How does the mafarshim not make sense that they're meant to post the Torah if they weren't allowed to be posted by Shabbos?
Oh, so we'll get there, but in short, it's one of those, like, it's a Columbus question. What, meaning, they are able to apply their reasoning. I mean, halal Shabbos achas kedei shishim or Shabbos harbe, if you can say that by other mitzvahs, so then it applies. Right, the Xeris Kosov is here, but we, in the way, you know, Columbus in general works, is that if there's a reasoning at place, then you're able to then apply that reasoning in other circumstances. Again, if there's a reason to be mechalik, there's a reason to be mechalik. But if it's just about, you know, an internal, you know, mitzvah calculation, it's worth it to be mechalik one mitzvah in order to facilitate that mitzvah, that the kiyum of that mitzvah many times, that's more of a universal, seemingly a universal concept. Yeah.
Kol devar she have a klav yatzah mekol lo amid lo amid alas mo yatzah lo amid al klav kula yatzah.
I would give you two words. Opinion out.
Wait, can you?
Yeah,
what?
Basically, you know, Aaron was trying to show off his bekiyas by quoting the longest midah out there, and I was just saying, you didn't need that one. Basically, he was trying to associate what I just said about extending, you know, a reason to other places by attaching it to one of the yugimel midos, and I was just saying there might be an easier one. What?
The laws.
Hermeneutics.
Yeah. Okay, but either way, fine. You hear what I'm saying? Didn't you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. Okay. So now let's, you know, prove, you know, let's, you know, document, you know, these other mefarshim, right, who invoke the factor of chalal shabbos achas k'deish yishmer shabbos harbeis. So we're gonna, you know, divide, you know, just for organizational sake, we'll divide these mefarshim, in, you know, into categories based on which topic, you know, they're discussing, the different nafkamina they're discussing. So the first, you know, nafkamina, which I actually saw a couple sugyas ago, is the nafkamina of Uber. Right, the question is, does the heter pikuach nefesh apply to an Uber, right, to a fetus? So again, we saw this within our third sigya, cholav yom kippurim. So again, and pei beis. So basically, within that discussion, we saw two rishonim who basically are discussing basically whether or not the heter pikuach nefesh carries over to an Uber. And basically, the question is, you know, let's say an Uber, according to some, doesn't have the status of a nefesh. Is not currently defined as being defined as a life. So the question, obviously, is this poses a great litmus test to whether the Heter Pikuach Nefesh is about, you know, being Mekayim, is it V'chai Behem, it's about saving a current life, or is about, you know, the future, the potential, right, the potential in the future of Kiyumei Mitzvos. So again, this Uber seems to be a perfect test case, because right now, presumably, according to some, it's not a Nefesh, but the Uber has a future. So whether you would apply the Heter Pikuach Nefesh to an Uber seems to be a great test case. And in fact, right, if you turn to the Ran, I actually read this, you know, last time also, but it's good to see it, you know, in the context of this sigya. So the Ran, you know, Gimel and Beis, you know, Bedap Arif, again, the old editions, you know, basically the Ran is discussing, right, whether you apply the Heter Pikuach Nefesh to Uber, and the way he justifies it is by quoting Chalel Shabbos Achas Kedesh Yishmor Shabbos Esabe. So again, clear according to the Ran, that this svara of chalal shabbos achas holds the maskana, and therefore even the maskana lemaisa is able to quote, to invoke this svara of chalal shabbos achas to justify applying the heter pikuach nefesh even to an Uber.
What if it's non-religious baby? The mother is non-religious.
Okay, so that's going to get to tinok shenishba. That's the next one. We'll get to that. So just to see this inside quickly, we read this before, but just good to see this again. This is within the larger Dira Maskel of the Kasuv, but it's a couple, it's like, you see like the period, right after the period, it's about Afagad Disnan, and the parentheses is Olos, so Perek Zayin. You go for it, Brian?
Afagad Disnan, Aisha. And then Kashel Wade may be in Saki Masakhan also your Aaron. Even though we know that if it's like basically the mother versus the fetus, you kill the fetus.
Exactly.
Yasu Roshi Nogimbo, but if it obviously took its head out, it's a life, you can kill it. Shindoka Nefesh Renefnef.
Right, because only when it comes out, then it's a nefesh. Mm-hmm. So, right, the contrast shows that when it's still an Uber, the Alma.
The Alma Mikara, less than the Shema Tzalsafashos, initially there's no Indian saving it.
Right, and again, this simple pshat also seems to be that there's no nefesh, right? That's what he was quoting. Like, when it comes out, then it's indoch nefesh, mide nefesh. Right, then it's like, you know, a clash between the fashos. But earlier, right, where we say we kill the uber, it sounds like there's no nefesh at all. It's not only another indication that the uber lacks the status of a nefesh.
If you kill one little child, the Mishal and Mevados, that if you hit a pregnant woman, you pay the value of the child, of the fetus, not the child itself.
Exactly. It's a chiyah mamnas, right? It's a chiyah tashulman, but there's no, right, you don't get killed. So again, similarly, another indication that an Uber lacks the status of a blah. So the obvious question is, therefore, why would you apply the heter pikuach nefesh to an Uber who lacks the status of a nefesh? Answers the Ran.
And the Torah, Hil Allah Shabzachas, she is Shem Yishmon Shabzos Harbe. Hil Kachil Bartholos Ubar Pachos Ben Yom, Shem Bochias Kal, Makalim Pilas Lachos.
So basically, how does he explain, you know, the Heter Pikoch Nefesh applying to an Uber? By invoking, so the Ran, clearly lemaskana, obviously, right, you wouldn't be quoting a Havamina, this is talking Lalacha, is willing to quote Chalal Shabbos Achas to justify the Tzeta Pikoch Nefesh, and then, interesting line, he adds at the end, this is even an Uber within 40 days. And generally within 40 days, I don't know if you guys are, the Gemara refers to it as like Maya Ba'alma. It's just like, it has no status whatsoever. It's like just water, that the Gemara elsewhere says. And yet, we're applying Hedrib Goch Nefesh because, again, Chalal Shabbos Achas is all about the future. It doesn't matter what its status is now. It doesn't matter that currently it doesn't have the status of a Nefesh. It's not about V'chai Behem, you know, sustaining a current Nefesh. It's about the future. As long as there's a potential of Kadesh Yishmor, Shabbos is Harbe, that's going to apply. Just 1 second. So not only does the Ran say that here, so we also the Ritzva, I quoted this earlier, but the Ritzva in Nida Mem Dalet on the base, Dibra Maschel Dechsev Ish, again has the same Shach B'Tarya where he says, basically asks the question, why would you apply the Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh to an Uber? It doesn't have the status of a Nefesh. Again, brings those riots to the Ran and says, it doesn't matter, because the Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh is not about a current Nefesh. It's about the factor of Chalel Shabbos Achas, Kadesh Yishmor Shabbos Harbe, and therefore we're going to apply the Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh even if the item does not, even if the Uber doesn't have the status of a Nefesh. So you have the Ran, the Ritzva and Nida, and also the Hamek Shela, the Netziv, in right, the Shiltos Aleph, Os Ches, also says the same idea, where he says, the question of whether the Heter Pikuach Nefesh applies to an Uber is totally on whether you think that the Makor or the Maskana is V'chai Behem, in which case you need a Nefesh, because all about V'chai Behem, you should continue living, right? Uphold the current status of Nefesh, or if the status is Chalal Shabbos Achas, because if it's Chalal Shabbos Achas, all you care is about the potential in the future, and therefore would even apply it to an Uber. Sorry.
Yeah. So what was the Dibra Maschel for the Ritva?
Yeah, sorry. Dichsiv V'ish.
And then, also, I just thought it was interesting that the Ran phrases it as Chalal Shabbos Achas Shema Yishma Shabbos.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes such a difference.
Yeah,
but
it is interesting.
It sounds like even if only like a far out possibility.
Yeah, that's a good point. It'd be interesting in terms of the Binyamin question, because we're going to see next that, you know, the Rekuvi Eger, the Shoal and the Rekuvi Eger, you know, their discussion, they're assuming for sure, we'll get there in a second, but for sure, if the Makor is Chalal Shabbos Achas, Kadesh Yishma Shabbos Harbe, then it wouldn't apply to a Tinok Shenishpa. Because the chances are that he's not going to be Mekayim of Shabbos in the future. So again, that's a good point. You're saying, it could be the Ran is saying, wait a second, as long as there's a Shema, as long as there's a potential, that's a good point. I like that. Yeah, cool.
So, I have two questions. First, why not begin at conception for this?
Well, that's basically what it's saying. The Ran's saying even within 40 days. Of...
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, fine. Oh, okay.
Yeah, in a Hami.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This
doesn't matter.
So
yeah.
This would go a pretty long way toward getting rid of, like, most abortions.
So, that's what we discussed a couple seconds ago. So, this question of whether the status, as we pointed out in the third sigya, is a big machlokes about whether the Uber has the status of a nefesh or not.
Right.
So these Rishonim are clearly holding that it doesn't.
But even, I mean, in Achinami, you can...
No, but you're right. Whether... What the issue that the stand that you take on that issue in terms of whether the Uber has the status of Nefesh has nafkamina in terms of abortion and therefore in terms of under what circumstances, again, not just because I don't want to have the baby, there always has to be halacha, you need to have more of a counter pressure than that, but in terms of certain disease that it might have. So again, the question of whether the Uber has a status or not has the status of an Uber or has status of a Nefesh will impact the scope of the heter for abortion, but obviously income akum lahara for that. Good? I thought. Okay, good. So again, it's the first, issue that Mefarshim invoke Chalal Shabbos Achas for is the question of applying the Heter Pikuach Nefesh for an Uber. So for that, you have the Ran, the Ritva, and the Ha'omek Shela. So the second issue where this comes up, which you already saw referenced earlier, is the question of a Tinok Shenishpa. So this is where we read the Rukibi Eger last time, and we'll just return to that just to see the Shoal again, where the Shoal basically says, if you guys want to, if you guys have the Makoros, can we print it out? The first, I think the first, you know, Makor, which is printed out on the sheet, is the Rukibi Eger, and the Shoal there is basically trying to say that because the Makor, the Maskana, is this factor of Chalal Shabbos Achas, therefore, the Het Pikuach Nefesh shouldn't apply to a Tinok Shanishba. Again, we pointed out last time, the Rukibi Eger responds, it's not what he's talking about, really the Makor is V'chai Ben. But again, it's just important that, according to at least Rukibi Eger and the Shoal, this is a Nafka Mina between these two different approaches. Whether the Makor is V'chai Ben or Chalal Shabbos Achas is this case of Tinok Shanishba. So let's just see the Shaila inside, just to see that anyone want to, you want to have the Makoros sheets?
If the court would actually be Chalal Shabbos Achas, would Rabbi Akiva Eger agree with the Shoal?
That's what it seems like.
He asks for Mila. It's not a din. But he asks the question that for Mila, that.
Well, I think that was just his way of saying that, like, we don't really rely on the
Rabbi
Akiva.
It's not a din within Chalal Shabbos Achas.
No,
I mean, if it were to be Chalal Shabbos Achas, you would say Tinuk Shemeshva, we cannot see that Tinuk Shemeshva.
I think so. He's just saying, but according to the other Makoro, he's just saying, why are you picking that earlier Makoro? You know, once you're done with the earlier Makoro, just pick Mila.
No.
And anyways, the whole thing, we reject the earlier meaning exactly. But he seems to agree, which is important in light of the, you know, Aaron, Zeke, and the Ron. Aaron is saying, maybe the Ron would argue and say, no, meaning even if you hold Chalal Shabbos Achas, if you think the formulation is Shema, right, that perhaps we'll have a wider scope to Chalal Shabbos Achas, as long as there's any potential in the world, and therefore even a Tinuk Shanishba would fall under that potential. But the Shoal and the Rukibi Eger himself both seem to agree that no, you need to have a certain, you know, level of, you know, chance, probability that there will be a Shabbos Sar, Kiyum of Shabbos Sar in the future, and they both agree that Tinuk Shanishba doesn't seem to pass that threshold.
Maybe the Shema in the Ran is because, especially back then, childhood was a lot more dangerous, so you're saying even if you violate Shabbos to save it now, there's still a chance it's not even going to end up being born.
True, that's a good point, but in the end of the day, that still shows you that the Iran is willing to say Chalal Shabbos Achas, even when it's only Shema, you know, Yishmor Shabbos Achas.
You would agree that if it's
Tino, oh, you're saying Tino Shanishma
already born, and it's already not living
the Torah. Okay, yeah, you could say that. You could say. I mean, the question, you know, you're saying the different levels. You're saying perhaps, you know, the chances of, you know, the Uber being viable are higher than the chances of a Tinuk Shanishba, you know, being Mekayim. 100%. You could be Mekayim. But I think Aaron just bringing up a point that with the formulation of Shema, it definitely opens up the question. But you're right, it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to disagree about Tinuk Shanishba. Does anyone have the, you know, Aaron, would you mind reading this?
Yeah. From the beginning?
Yeah, just the first 3 lines.
Mashagoda Masi Galai. Vemeshratiti Lomar de Altinok Shanishva Ben Anachrim, the Mechal Lim Shabbos, the Kevan de Briasa,
the
Brysa Yali, maybe Shamuasa Shabbos, the Hule Hal Lav Shabbos Achas, Kreshishmar Shabbos Harbe, the Loshaya Kane, Vetinok Shanishva, the Mistama Yishtaka Ben Anachrim. But after Shmuel,
so before we'll read the next part later. So what did he basically say? What was the reasoning of the Shalal?
That since it's Chal Lav Shabbos Kreshishmar Achas, Kreshishmar Shabbos Harbe, there's no reason to say Tinuk Shanishba.
Exactly. So at least in terms of the Shoal, again, there's another, you know, example where we're invoking Chalal Shabbos Achas, even the Maskana, to justify an important Nafkamina such as Tinuk Shanishba. So again, the first Nafkamina was Uber, second one is Tinuk Shanishba, and the third one we're about to see is in terms of the Svara of Maichazes. Again, remember last time we saw that the Yad Ramah, it's coming to explain this far of Maichazes, right? The idea of, you know, Yahar Vayavar when it comes to Ritzicha, right? There's a gun to your head, and they say, oh, we'll kill you if you don't kill this other person, right? And the Gemara basically says, invokes the Svar of Maichazes to say, you know, you have to die, and you can't kill the other person, because how do you know that your life is more valuable than the other person's life? So again, so the Ad Ramat takes us, has two explanations in terms of what exactly is the Pshat in Maichazes. What do you mean you don't know whose life is more valuable? And in doing so, in explaining the Svar of Maichazes, the Ad Ramah clearly, you know, explicates you know, what is the nature of the Heter Pikuach Nefesh? And therefore, you know, once you understand the Heter Pikuach Nefesh, it's the, right, what, I mean, what is the value that we're advancing with the Heter Pikuach Nefesh? And therefore, once you know, once you isolate that value, you can therefore say, oh, in the case of my chazos, it's basically Gemara saying, you don't know which person advances that value better. So if you, everyone can, again, can turn to that Yad Ramah. So again, last time we read the first day of the Yad Ramah, where the Yad Ramah basically clearly, you know, formulated the Maichazus in terms of, right, the length of life, right? With clearly within V'chai Bet, that the value at stake for the Heter Pikuach Nefesh is all about, you know, being Mekayim Kedusha Sachayim. It's all about the value of human life. And everybody says, the back and forth of Maichazus, right, the Dhamma Didach Sumak Tfei, is all about, yeah, who knows which one of you are going to live a longer life, who's going to have more, you know, life value, you know, more, you know, longer lifetime, which therefore will have more value of Kedushas HaChayim. That's the first approach. That's the first, you know, day in the Yad Ramah. But the second day in the Yad Ramah is going to align with the current Shita. He's going to formulate everything in terms of mitzvahs. And he's explicitly going to invoke Chalal Shabbos Achas. Again, so the two days in the Yad Ramah end up being like a very clear illustration of these two different approaches. Again, the first day, you know, invoking V'chai Behem, and therefore it's all about, right, it's all about, you know, just life itself. And the second day, I says, no, it's all about Chalal Shabbos Achas, and therefore it's all about, you know, the potential for Kiyumei Mitzvos in the future. So if you see the Yad Ramah, let's just read it inside, and then I'll take the, anyone? Aaron, you gonna go over again? So you see the Yesh Lefarish after, yeah, like the period? I would, yeah, say it's like four lines up from the bottom.
The Yesh Lefarish alone need new mitzvos leidokos ezel pikuach nevesh ela kadesh yichyev yekayim mitzvos arbe.
Oh, so already it was clear. Now, the only reason why we have the Heter Pikuach Nefesh is kadesh yichyev yekayim mitzvos arbe. So already he's explaining the Heter Pikuach Nefesh in terms of facilitating a future kiyum mitzvos. And then what does he do? What's his proof that it's all about future kiyum mitzvos? Again, remember, this is all, right, he's quoting this, even the maskana, right? This is totally different suga of my chazis. Right, obviously, he's saying this is the maskana of our gemar, is chalal shabbos achas. Now he's going to plug it all in.
Aval hacha gabi reticha, my chazis didame didach sumak tfei, veroi laharich yamim yeter mecha beirecha, kadesha tomar yidchu chayav shehen utin ve'inan Masfikin l'kayim b'hem mitzvos harbe.
Oh, right. So again, at first it's like he seems to be talking about a long life, mm-hmm, but then he clearly defines, who cares about long life? According to the first shot, that was the value in itself. It's all about v'chai ben. But now the length of life is all about facilitating kiyumei mitzvos. Therefore, he says, "Shein mu'atim be'inon." Therefore, when it's short, therefore einon masfikim l'kayim b'hem mitzvos harbe. Therefore, if you have a shorter life, you have less potential to be mekayim mitzvos.
Right,
so again, I mean, because maybe your friend will live a longer life, and therefore this is the key, and therefore will have, you know, a greater capacity, greater potential to mekayim mitzvos. Again, it's clear the Yad Ramah is like a third, you know, I'll say, you know, manifestation of the svar. Again, first we had Uber. Then we had Tinuk Shenishba, now we have the Svar of Mechazis, where according to the Yad Ramah, he's invoking Chalal Shabbos Achas, even the Maskana, to explain that's Pshat the Maskana in the Svar of Mechazis. Again, why does it matter who's going to live a longer life? Not in and of itself, but the longer life versus the shorter life is all about, you know, the length of life will thereby, you know, dictate, you know, who has a greater capacity, greater potential for Kiyumei Mitzvos in the future. Again, very clear that the factor at hand, the value at hand, comes to Pikuach Nefesh, is the, you know, the future potential, future capacity to be Mekayim Mitzvos.
So according to that second reason,
yeah,
let's say you have
a yeah, it's all, yeah. Yeah, so
it's obvious.
Yeah. It's hard to know. You would think so. I mean, just you're saying just like Rabbi Kager and the Shoel, we're saying the Tinuk Shenishba is an exception, so that should be an exception for this too. It should be. Again, there always is that factor. Again, just like I said, the Ran. Just like I said, the Ran, no, there's always a Shema, there's always a chance. So if Rishonim wouldn't say that, it would be because you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, the person could always, you know, have a turnaround. On the other hand, you're right, if you're just looking at chances, so it's hard to know. I'm not going to say definitively. I would say, like, I wouldn't be surprised if people, if you know, if Mepharshim would say that, like based on like Rukh Veger, where you know, if it's all about Chalal Shabbos Achas, you know, Chinuch Shenishpa has proven himself, you know, not to have that potential. But if Rishonim were not being Mechalak, you just have to say that, you know, you never know what's going to happen. That's what you have to say. But it's a very good question, yes.
So I've two questions. One, the first is a bit, sorry, is related to what Eitan just asked, which is, like, how... So, like, one of the really literal reading of the principle is that, like, the, you know, the keeping of Shabbos, or, you know, maybe you could expand it to, like, mitzvot as a whole, is just what gives the human life its value. So, I have two questions. One, like, how contingent... Now it's an argument from potentiality.
Not that... No, it wasn't before. Let's just talk. Not that that's what gives...
That's what provides the overriding...
Exactly. Pikuach nefesh.
Fine. Okay.
That's an important distinction.
Okay. All right, fine. All right. On the one hand, so that's an argument from potentiality.
Translated for us.
So, like, that's an argument about a capacity.
Okay.
Right? Not...
Potentiality.
Right. Right. About a potential two.
That's what I thought it was, but...
Right.
Sometimes these terms are loaded. Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, so that's...
They are, though.
Okay. How... right. Like, how contingent... So, how contingent is this potentiality? Like, I mean, this is... I mean, so... Right. So, right. So, kind of a... I kind of want to stay as theoretical as I can, but the, you know, like a really, you know, concrete way of dealing with this question is like, what if the kid's mom and parents are like complete kofrim and there's no chance? I'm not as interested in that, like, particular case as I
know,
am.
But it's a good. But it does highlight.
Right. It draws out some intuitions. And then the second thing is, So I want to know, like, how integral is the ability to fulfill mitzvot? Is it like a general capacity? And is the fact that capacity is theoretically contingent, theoretically inheres in all people, or at least in all Jews, say, because, like, you know, they're a Balei Tshuva, does that make the issue of whether, like, the parents are kofrim a non-issue? And then the second question I have, and the second thing is more of an objection, which is that there's...
So before you do the first point, as we said before,
yeah,
is that, like, again, just like the Kiveyur and the Shohel, and I think, but even the Rekuyer agreed to the analysis, they basically took that into account. They said a Tinuk Shenishpa will not have the fact of Chalal Shabbos Achas. So therefore, right, Rekuyer, again, if you would accept the analysis, the Shohel for sure says, since Chalal Shabbos Achas... Tinuk Shenishpa literally is a Tinuk who's been, like, captured and has been amongst them. It's basically an example of a... Basically, we don't see any potential for Kiyumei Mitzvahs because he's, you know...
Does anybody hold the sort of a blanket view on the potential of Jews on the potential of regardless of whether Jews with goyim or anything like that,
and
like, his being Jewish is necessary and sufficient for him to have this, like, pikuach nefesh inhering?
Yeah, that's where, I mean, if you say v'chaybem,
right,
that's where Kuvayger answers. He says, I don't care about potential. It's nefesh mi Yisrael. That's exactly the point.
Right.
It's all about Kedushas Achaim. To save a Jewish life.
So my question is, does anybody combine the positions on one hand that what we really care about is not this, like, strange business of nefesh, which is, like, vague, but the root capacity.
Oh,
so vague. I think it's pretty vague. Maybe not. But, like, the root capacity of being able to perform mitzvot with the universal application of it, right, to all Jews, right? Because if you're doing
that, that was saying, like, with the Ron.
That's the Ron.
That's what I meant.
Okay, fine.
No, not necessarily. But I'm saying when Aaron made the diuk of Shema.
Yeah.
You know what we were basically pointing out is that the Ron could, or that, like, you know, that understanding of Chalal Shabbos Achas, not Kidei, which but rather like Shema Yishmor Shabbos Harbe,
right.
is basically like, as long as there's any potential.
Right.
So that could be, not saying the Ran necessarily holds this, but it's possible that the Ran would say, never, even for a Tinoch Shanishba, there's always a chance. There's a chance associated with any Jew, and therefore that's the middle position where it's about the future, it's about the capacity.
The future or the capacity?
It's the future potential.
The future or the potential? In other words, like
the potential to fulfill in the future.
Right. So I'm making a diuk between the. An infinitesimal probability and the fact of the potential. In other words, like, you might say, okay, from probability 1 to probability 0.001, that's the potential we care about. I'm talking about the mere existence of the capacity, probability indifferent to that he will perform mitzvot. Right, in the same way that like you wouldn't say like in the same way that you would distinguish between like how intelligent and intelligence as like.
Yeah, I think it's hard. I think it's harder to say that here in terms of Kadesh Yishmor Shabbos Harbe. I think it's a bigger stretch. I'm still more comfortable saying that like
for the probability.
Yeah,
if there's a chance.
Yeah, okay. I understand there being a range in terms of what the probability has to be.
Right.
Like Shema, for instance,
right.
open like Shema means like. Perhaps.
Right.
So, I know perhaps right. is pretty vague.
This could be right. This could be like a range property.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a point
in terms,
is inside a
But in terms
circle,
of saying, like, no, we know, this. We're like, we're certain
right.
it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But yet, because that I'm a little less comfortable.
So, uncertainty would be in regards to a prediction rather than the absence
yeah.
of a capacity. Okay.
Yeah.
And then my second question is.
Sounds like your fourth question.
So, no. Everything was ancillary.
Each time you call it second.
I've been counting. Anyway,
yeah.
So this business is about like breaking one Shabbat so you can keep many. Judaism has like way too many deontic constraints on action, like specific imperatives for it actually to be weighing like one Shabbos. 10 Shabbases. Like, I literally don't believe that that's the calculation that's being made. There's got to be... the rabbis are not, like, sitting there with a scale, like, you know, one Shabbos, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 Shabbases. It's got to be... There's got to be some, like, I don't know, more... It can't just be, like, dollars and cents of mitzvot.
Why not?
Isn't...
That just doesn't make sense. I mean, like...
Isn't it
why not?
What?
Isn't
it
exercise
inclusive? You mean in terms of rabbis?
Yeah.
The Torah says, wait. The Torah says to do that. I mean, the Lashon of the Drasha is Achaz versus Harbe. So, talking about the literal interpretation of that, it seems to be that, again, it's not, I don't know why you'd call it dollars and cents. I mean, that's just trivially honest.
No. On the contrary, that makes it out, like, there are a whole bunch of, there are a whole bunch of times, forget the big three. There are a whole bunch of times when, like, two mitzvot, you know, ride up against one another, or where, like, you know, some, you know, positive obligation or a negative obligation, and you know...
No, but the numbers of mitzvot, a lot of times play the role. Like, for example, right, ase docha los ase.
Yeah.
Ase is not docha los ase in an ase.
Say that again?
And one positive commandment is docha one negative commandment.
Uh-huh.
But one positive commandment will not be docha... One positive commandment and one negative commandment.
Like, oh, like, what's an example?
One versus one versus one versus two.
Like, what's an example?
Let's say Yontif. Between Malacha and Yontif is both a los asay and an asay.
Uh-huh.
So the klal of asay docha los asay doesn't apply there. Like Mara says, because asay is docha los asay, but asay is not docha los asay v'asay. So I'm just saying, like, your assumption coming in that, you know, we don't care about numbers... I don't think is necessarily true. We're gonna have to move on a little bit. But it's important to think about. Sometimes, again, in certain contexts we care about numbers and sometimes we don't. But I think the literal interpretation of Chalal Shabbos Achas, Kadesh Yishmor Shabbos Harbe, the contrast there seems to be a quantitative one.
Uh-huh.
That's what it seems like. Just the Harbe versus Achas. That's what it seems like. It's
not a mystical
quantity.
Well, we're done. But I mean, it's different than like utilitarianism or consequentialism. Insofar as metaphysical, like scale, it's not like a. It's based off of
mitzvot which are really not existing from like a perspective of pleasure or value or utility as much as actual like being in front of God. It's operating within a system of inherent value.
Okay, but there's a value associated with, you know, and I can say even from an internal, you know, Shabbos value, we're saying is that it's worth it.
You're just trying to have a different fight, and he's wrong.
Okay, so we're gonna go on because such a lot of guys, a lot of guys are behind, I mean, are ahead of me in terms of Makoros because I missed a couple nights. So I just want to make sure we get, you know, further here. Okay, so far we have three different applications where Mefarshim or invoke Halal Shabbos Achas, Evil Maskana. We've had Ubar, the issue of Tinuk Shanishba, and we just had the Svar of Mechazis. So the fourth and final one is in terms of the issue of Chayesha. So I'm sure you guys saw the Gemara, or the Gemara on Pehe Amra Aleph, has an interesting extension of the Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh. We'll read it inside next time. Basically, the Gemara says, there's an extra line in the Mishnah, and the Gemara says, "Oh, what is the Mishnah? What is the extra line in the Mishnah doing?" And says, "Oh, to teach you that we're even willing to be Mechal Shabbos in order, basically, for the sake of Chayesha, which means what? What's Chayesha? Even for a moment's time, right? An hour, literally, but even basically."
What extra line in the Mishnah is that?
Matzu Chay Mefat. The Gemara says, "Matzu chai." I mean, if you find the guy alive, of course, you know, pshita. Answer is l'tzricha da'afil l'chayisha. Even if it means that you know, you're being mechal Shabbos in order to save his life for a temporary amount of time, we're still going to do that.
Do we care if the mechal Shabbos could be more than the time he's going to be alive? Let's say he has an hour more to live. Does it mean 2 hours?
That doesn't seem like that. That's about right. It doesn't seem like it. But just hold on for a second. So at face value, if you see this or you read this Gemara, it sounds like, oh, we're even going to be Mechal Shabbos to extend the guy's life for 5 minutes. So the simple interpretation of that, if you're thinking about the Gemara from the lens of this question about whether the value at stake is, you know, Kedushas HaChaim, the value of life, or it's about mitzvos, so you would think, in the Pashpshat, if you saw that Gemara, that extension, that application of the Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh, what does that seem to imply? Exactly. It sounds like it's all about life. You know, it's 5 minutes. What is he going to do in that 5 minutes? But yet, the point is, you know, even 5 minutes of life is worth it. That's what it seems like. But what makes it interesting is that because... Scratch that. Basically, a number of Mefarshim are basically bothered by this application of Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh. We're going to see, we're going to suggest... possibly because they're coming from the second approach perspective, and they're saying the pshat in Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh is not about Kedushas HaChaim. Therefore, they're saying if it's about facilitating the future kingdom mitzvos, so then they're basically bothered implicitly by why in the world are we Mechal Shabbos for Chayesha? What is he going to do in those 5 minutes? So you're going to see a number of Mefarshim trying to give pshat to him, and what could a person do? What mitzvah could that person accomplish? Could that person fulfill within those 5 minutes, such that we can justify being Mechal Shabbos? Again, we'll see this in just a moment. But just the fact that a particular parshan is going out of his way to say, "Oh, there's a certain mitzvah that he can fulfill during that time, during the Chayesha," that is a strong indication that particular mefarish holds that the pshat lemaskana is not v'chaybem. It's not just about life, and therefore, you know, any amount of life suffices. But it's rather about facilitating kumei mitzvos. And therefore, that's once they're taking that perspective, that's all about kumei mitzvos, they're forced to say, so where is the potential for kumei mitzvos within the chayesha? So again, so if we see the following mefarshim, we're going out of the way to explain what mitzvah they can accomplish during that time, that seems to be very indicative that these Mefarshim are accepting this Halal Shabbos Achas approach to the Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh. Let's just see this inside. So the earlier you know, Mefarish who takes this approach is the Me'iri. If you see the Me'iri, it's also on the sheet. Basically, because we won't see it inside, but basically has this line where he justifies the Hetzer Chayesha by saying, what mitzvah could the person accomplish during those 5 minutes? Anybody? What? Vidoy and Shuvah. What? What do you say?
That's
the mitzvah. Oh, that's going to be our last topic. Our last topic is the mitzvah of tshuva. What? Yeah, we'll get there. It's a mitzvah. What?
Yeah, it's the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva and Sefer Mada.
We'll get there. That's going to be our whole sugya in terms of what the makor for the mitzvah is. We'll get there. of tshuva and vidui.
There's a question as to whether vidui or tshuva is.
You're a mamash ahead of the game.
I learned that
okay, so you'll hopefully appreciate the next. Our last sugya is on the mitzvah of tshuva.
Begins with tshuva. That's what you hear about in conservative shuls on high holidays.
Okay.
A lot of tshuva.
Okay. Okay, fine. So basically, the Meiri basically says, so what can you do in what can you do during those 5 minutes? And she goes, you could always do tshuva. So right, the Meiri's lashon is in Pehe Amin Aleph on the Gemara there. He says, I should but also sha'a yashiv belibo v'yisvada. During that time, you can do tshuva and vidui. Which basically, again, the Meiri, again, he's not spelling this all out, but it seems to come out of the Meiri. You know, why is he saying that? Just, no, 5 minutes. 5 minutes worth of life, it suffices. Because the Meiri seems to be taking, it seems to be another expression of this yesod, that, of this approach. That the pshat is chalal shabbos achas kadesh yishmor shabbos asar. It's all about facilitating future kumim mitzvos. And the chiddush of the Meiri is that, again, it's lav dafka shabbos. We're going to get back to this a little later in terms of, is, you know, when we say chalal shabbos achas kadesh yishmor shabbos asar, is all about shabbos, or do other mitzvos suffice? So again, the Meiri is obviously taking a stand on that and says, no, Ubi Mechal Shabbos, not just to facilitate future kumim of Shabbos, but also to facilitate future kumim of other mitzvahs, including tshuva and vidur. But again, clear the fact that the Meiri is taking this approach, that he accepts, you know, this Chalal Shabbos Achas. May I finish, and I'll take your questions in just a moment. So again, the Meiri is an example within the sugya of Chayesha of, you know, taking this Chalal Shabbos Achas, you know, type approach. Another Mefarish who says this is Vertani. Is the Gilyonei Hashas, Rav Yosef Engel, on Pehe Omer Aleph.
Related to Frederick Engel?
What?
Related to Frederick Engels?
I'm not sure. Rav Yosef Engel, not Engels.
So one's Polish and the other one is German design.
Okay. Either way, it's good you guys are Chavrusas.
Austrian and Avraham Avinu is from Palestine. Related.
Oh. So the Gilyonei Hashas is in Pehe Omer Aleph. I don't know if you guys see this. But basically, Gilyonei Hashas accepts the Meiri's approach. Basically, asks the question again. He spells it all out beautifully. He says, "What do you mean? Why in the world would be mechal Shabbos for Chayesha? Like, what mitzvah is a person going to fulfill then?" He says, "Oh." And he quotes the Meiri and says, "Oh, the pshat is that he can, you know, perform tshuva and vidur." So again, he quotes the Meiri, but then asks some interesting questions. He says, "But according to this pshat in the Meiri, which is the only way he can understand the sugya, there's a problem. Because then why would we?" Be mechal Shabbos for a chayesha, even for a katan, or someone who recently became a gadol, if there's no, you know, there's no value of tshuva for those people, right? A katan doesn't need tshuva for his averos, and if a katan just became a gadol, and didn't have any time to do any averos when he was a gadol, so there's no capacity, there's no potential, there's no value to tshuva, says Rav Yosef Engel. So therefore, his question is. The whole reason for Chayesha is because there's a, you know, the potential for a mitzvah, and the mitzvah, which seems the only mitzvah which seems to always exist, is tshuva. So what do you do in certain circumstances where that, you know, the potential doesn't exist? And again, obviously it's dachuk to say, you know, the pikuach nefesh doesn't apply to Chayesha for those people because the Gemara doesn't qualify like that. So he ends with the tzarach in on that, and another tzarach in he ends with, which again is also very telling, that he's accepting this approach of chalal shabbos achas. He says, let's say the following case, or the whole pshat in chalal shabbos achas is that we're willing to chalal one shabbos to facilitate the kiyum of future shabbosos, but let's say the guy has a sickness where we know he's going to have to be mechalal every shabbos in his future. He has to be mechalal shabbos every day the rest of his life. So what's the point? There's no concept of Chalal Shabbos Achas Kedei Sheyishmor Shabbos Harbek. If every future Shabbos will also have to be right, it's Chalal.
It's
a general question that he asks. So again, I think it's just very telling. Rav Yosef Engel Lishitaso and all his comments, his commentary on Chayesha, and his commentary and his last question, he's basically thinking that Limaskana, you have this factor of Chalal Shabbos Achas Kedei Sheyishmor Shabbos Harbek. Therefore, when it comes to Chayesha, he has to explain there has to be a potential for a mitzvah, and therefore is bothered for, you know, in cases where there's no potential for a mitzvah. And then he has this kasha. But let's say you have a case, Hartinok Shanishba was one instance where there was no, you know, potential for Shishma Shabbos Harbe. But he has another scenario where, you know, you just his sickness dictates that there will never be, he will never have a full Kiyum Shabbos in the future. So he basically asks, so then why would you have Pikuach Nefesh there? So again, very much the Shitasa of Yosef Engel and all these different, you know, comments, accepting this factor of Chalal Shabbos Achas, Kadesh Yishmer, Shabbos Harbe, even Limaskana. Fine. Yeah, I'm going to have to hold, I just really want to get to a certain point, and then I'll take any questions.
So even though he has these questions, he still accepts it?
What? Yeah. It's important, meaning it's also fascinating. Even though he has all these questions and he has tzarachim, so he doesn't have answer, this is his approach. He's, you know, it's such a strong conviction that the pshat l'maskana is chalal Shabbos achas, that even though he has these difficulties, he still goes with it l'maskana. So in terms of the chayisha, you have the me'iri, the gilyon yashas who accepts the me'iri, and then the third, you know, the farish, who seems to be accepting the Shpshat and Chayesha, which we'll get to more in depth next time, is the Rosh Hashanah. You guys see this, the long Rosh Hashanah? The long Rosh Hashanah Bedas Rashi. We'll see this next time. But basically, the Gemara has a strange Gemara, the first Gemara that had, you guys see, very strange concept of a low Suffolk Shabbos Zubilvad, Amru, Ela Afilu Suffolk Shabbos Acheres. So again, we'll explain this next time. Like, the Machok is, what exactly, what do you mean, like, Lo Suffolk Shabbos Zu, Laaf Shabbos Acheres. Like, what is that case? So Rashi has this very strange pshat that said, no, even if there's no threat that you're going to die now, on this Shabbos, if there's a threat that you're going to die on the next Shabbos, so then we're still giving Mechal Shabbos. So the obvious question, and we'll see this inside next time, the obvious question that Rashi asks, among many questions that he asks in Rashi, is that who cares whether he's going to die on next Shabbos? Whenever this is, Pikuach Nefesh is whenever he's going to die anytime. Even if he's going to die on Tuesday, or he's going to die on Wednesday. You're always Mechal Shabbos. It doesn't matter when he's going to die. So why is it, according to Rashi, is that, oh, don't worry that he's not going to die today on Shabbos. As long as he's going to die next Shabbos, so then it will be Mechal Shabbos. Says Rosh Hashanah, who cares when he's dying? As long as his life is in danger, and he's in danger of dying on any day, we're Mechal Shabbos. So what's going on? So the way the Rosh Hashanah answers that first question, again, he rejects Rashi out of hand based on like four other kashas, but he says, the first question that I just presented is not the strongest question, because you could explain that Rashi and the Gemara is dealing with the case of Chayesha. Right? And what Rashi holds is that Chayesha only applies when there is going to be a potential of Kiyum Shabbos. Meaning, in contrast to the Me'iri who says, oh, the fact of Chal Shabbos Achas Kadesh Yishmer Shabbos Harbe, Lav Dafka means you need a future Kiyum of Shabbos. Is that as long as you have a future Kiyum of any mitzvah? Therefore, the Me'iri says, oh, even Shuvah, you know, counts. The Rosh Hashanah says, for Rashi, then maybe Rashi holds it at Dafka Shabbos. And therefore, the Pshat here is that this is a case of Chayesha, where, and basically, is the case as follows. The Gemara is basically saying that if the person, that if you don't do anything, he's going to die on Monday. If you intervene, then you're only going to extend it Chayesha. He's only going to live one more day to Tuesday, from Monday to Tuesday. So says the Rosh Hashanah B'Shem Rashi, you're not going to be Mechal Shabbos in that case, because there's no Kadesh Yishmor Shabbos Harbe. You didn't save anything. So it's between Monday and Tuesday, there is no Kiyum Shabbos. So the Pshat in Rashi is that we're talking about a case where the Chayesha, that he will only die on the next Shabbos. So the reason why Rashi is focusing on the next Shabbos is because he's dealing with the case of Chayesha. And the point is that, yes, because the Chayesha includes the next Shabbos, so therefore you have Chalal Shabbos Achas Kadesh Yishmor Shabbos Harbe. Because if you don't intervene, he'll die before Shabbos. But if you intervene, he'll be able to survive until Shabbos. And that Chayesha, that temporary extension of life, fulfills Kadesh Yishmor Shabbos Harbe because he's going to be living through Shabbos. So again, we'll get to this Rashi next time. Basically, the point is that this is another example within the Chayesha realm, again, where the Rashash explains Rashi as holding that Chayesha isn't just, oh, any moment or any extension of life. No, it's 5 minutes of life. That suffices. It's no. 5 minutes of life, Chayesha, is only valuable, is only going to justify a Chil Shabbos if there is, you know, a Kadesh Yishmor Shabbos is harpe. And that's the way the Rishash explains Rashi. Another example of Chalal Shabbos Achas Kadesh Yishmer Shabbos is harpe impacting, in this case, you know, the application of Chaya Shabbos. So again, you have all, just one second, all these Mefarshim in the realms of Uber, Tinok Shenishba, the Svar of Mechazis, and here a number of people in the realm of Chaya Shah, and all these, regarding all these different nafkamina, you have Mefarshim holding, and even the Maskana, the driving force behind the Hetu Pikuach Nefesh, is not V'chaybem, is rather Chalal Shabbos Achas, Kedesh Yishmor Shabbos Harbe, and therefore we saw all these nafkamina. Before we take any questions, the obvious question that we have to now deal with is, how do all these Mefarshim explain the Gemara? The Gemara clearly rejects the Svara of Chalal Shabbos Achas Kedesh Yishmor Shabbos Harbe and accepts the Makor of Chai Behem Maskara. So how are all these Mefarshim going to learn the Gemara? They seem to be directly sourced to the Gemara, which says, rejects, you know, Chalal Shabbos Achas in favor of Chai Behem. So what's going on? Let's just suggest two explanations, two answers to this question, and then I'll take any questions in the remaining time. So the first approach, the first explanation, is to focus specifically on why the Gemara rejected the Svar of Chalal Shabbos Achas, as it rejects all the other Makoros. What was the reason? Why did the Gemara reject all the earlier Makoros? Exactly. Right. All those Makoros only justify Vada Pikuach Nefesh, don't justify Safek Pikuach Nefesh. So the Gemara therefore says, oh, how are we going to justify Safek Pikuach Nefesh? Oh, you know, we have a new Svara, a new Makor of Chai Behem, which even covers that. So the first, you know, explanation is to say that, let's say, Chalal Shabbos Achas wasn't rejected in its entirety. The Gemara was just saying that it alone can't work because it doesn't cover the full story. It only covers Vada Pikuach Nefesh. But the Gemara never rejected its application to Vada Pikuach Nefesh. According to this first explanation, the Gemara wasn't rejecting it completely. It was just saying it doesn't suffice on its own. So therefore the Gemara is saying, in addition to Chalal Shabbos Achas, which works for Vada Pikuach Nefesh, you also have a Chai Behem to cover Safek Pikuach Nefesh. So according to this first approach, Limaskana, you have both the Chai Behem and Chalal Shabbos Achas working side by side. Chalal Shabbos Achas works for Vada Pikuach Nefesh, and all you need the Chai Behem for is Safek Pikuach Nefesh.
Doesn't that violate Occam's razor of like needlessly multiplying entities?
Oh, no, because they're going to be nafkamina, because we'll see, because Chalal Shabbos, meaning the Chai Behem, doesn't work on its own. And Chalal Shabbos will expand the scope.
Ah.
We'll see. Like by Uber. In the case of Uber, right?
Chai Behem would not, right, because of the argument.
Exactly.
The
so that, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That would be...
Occam's razor has been dulled.
Okay, good. So according to... Just important to analyze this approach. Again, according to this approach, you have Chai Behem working alongside Chalal Shabbos Achas. Again, this is not as serious as the Gemara, because the Gemara was just saying Chalal Shabbos Achas doesn't work on its own. It also needs V'chaim Behem, according to this approach, that just, you know, is a Mechadesh, that you have now two Makoros at work. So just to point out two assumptions of this approach, which can become a little difficult, which will bring us to our second and preferred approach. So the first assumption of this approach is that, right, according to this explanation, Chalal Shabbos Achas, Kedesh Yishmer Shabbos Harbe, is limited to cases of Vada Pikuach Nefesh, right? That's the structure we just set up, right? It was limited to Vada Pikuach Nefesh, and therefore, since it didn't cover Safek Pikuach Nefesh, we needed V'chai Behem to cover Safek. But according to this approach, right, Chalal Shabbos Achas is limited to Vada Pikuach Nefesh. That would be the assumption, first assumption. The problem with that is that it's not so clear from the Mefarshim that we quoted that they are limited to cases of Vada Pikuach Nefesh. For example, let's say in the realm of Uber, right? When you had, you know, the Ran, the Ritva, and then Ha'amik Sheila, saying that, oh, because of Chalal Shabbos Achas, we're able to apply, and they have to be Pikuach Nefesh, even to Uber. So they never say, oh, by the way, you should know, because we're talking about Chol Shabbos Achas, it's limited to Vada Bikoach Nefesh. And that's a very important qualification to make, if, in fact, you know, this approach is true. So again, so the first assumption, I'll say problematic assumption, of this first explanation, is that, according to this explanation, Chol Shabbos Achas should be limited to Vada Bikoach Nefesh. And it's hard to assume that, you know, let's say, the Rishonim were invoking Chol Shabbos Achas, that they're really all limited to Vada Bikoach Nefesh. It doesn't, just doesn't sound like that. That's point number one. Point number two, which is even more difficult, is that if you really think that Chalal Shabbos Achas is not the only makor, but it's only an additional makor beyond V'chai Ben, so as we were just hinting to before, so then Chalal Shabbos Achas should only be a nafgamina to expand the scope of a Heter Pikuach Nefesh. It could never limit it. Meaning, if there's a certain nafgamina which is covered by V'chai Behem, so then, according to this approach, since V'chai Behem still stands l'maskana, therefore the Heter Pikuach Nefesh should apply, even if Chalal Shabbos Achas doesn't apply, because you still have V'chai Behem. Take, for example, Tinok Sheneshba. What was the whole pshat in the Shoah? That because the Makor is Chalal Shabbos Achas, and since Chalal Shabbos Achas doesn't apply by Tinok Sheneshba, so there's no Heter Pikuach Nefesh there. But whoa, 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 whoa. According to this first approach, Chalal Shabbos Achas is not the only makor. It's only an additional makor, you know, beyond V'chai Behem. So, that's a problem. They have, right, because all, I mean, before we had four nafkamina. There was Uber, then we had Tinok Shenishba, where the Sfar of Mechazis, and Chayesha. The last three nafkamina, right, of Maichazis, Tinok Shenishba, and Chayeshar were all limitations. Where basically we're saying, oh, if Chalal Shabbos Achas is your makor, then we're going to have to limit the scope of Pikuach Nefesh. So even though in these three cases where there is V'chai Behem, since the makor is Chalal Shabbos Achas, Het Pikuach Nefesh is not going to apply. Take, for example, Tinok Shenishba. Tinok Shenishba, the Shoah was saying, because the makor is Chalal Shabbos Achas, therefore that doesn't apply to a case of Tinok Shenishba. Even though V'chai Behem applies there, I take, you know, the other example, Chayesha, 5 minutes of life. So seemingly there's V'chai Behem there, but yet these Rishonim, yet those old Mepharshim Mekodah were saying, the only way to justify the Pikuach Nefesh there is if you're able to say there's a potential for mitzvah there. And my chazis also. The only way the Ramah in that second day was willing to justify the whole svara is because, right, longer life means more mitzvos. But if you think that alongside Chalal Shabbos Achas is also V'chai Behem, so then you should never have nafkamina based on Chalal Shabbos Achas not applying because you still have V'chai Behem there. The only role, according to this first approach, that Chalal Shabbos Achas should play is the case of cases like Uber, where Chalal Shabbos Achas is more expansive to say that even though there's no V'chai Behem, even though we're dealing with an Uber who lacks the status of a Nefesh and therefore there's no V'chai Behem, still there's a second makor of Chalal Shabbos Achas.
This can't be doing backseat driving on like
the other Nefesh.
Yeah,
exactly. On
three out of the four.
Exactly. Right. So again, in short, the second assumption is that if Chalal Shabbos Achas is working alongside V'chai Behem, Chalal Shabbos Achas can only expand the scope beyond V'chai Behem, but wouldn't be able to qualify and limit the scope to cases where V'chai Behem would apply because V'chai Behem is still Chai V'Kayim. So those are the two problems with this first approach. So we'd rather see...
It's an analytically rich set of problems.
Okay. Oh. So this is why I prefer the second approach, and with this... We'll conclude. Sorry, I'm going a little late. I just have to do this. Second approach is that...
We're here at Mussar, by the way.
What?
We're here at
Mussar. Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, great. Okay, good.
So I only missed 30 minutes.
Okay. So the second approach that I think is preferred, given those problems we just had before, is, so it's a chiddush, is that Chalal Shabbos Achas doesn't exist alongside V'chai Behem, but that Chalal Shabbos Achas defines V'chai Behem. Meaning, and I'm getting a lot of, you know, blank stares, which I was going for, that's why I hesitated, I was looking for those blank stares, is that this is the way you read the Shach B'Torah. The Gemara rejected the Svar B'Chalal Shabbos Achas only as coming from the pasuk of Vishamru B'nei Yisrael as a Shabbos, Lasos as a Shabbos. Because as Rashi points out, if the Svar of Chalal Shabbos Achas is coming from the pasuk of Vishamru B'nei Yisrael, so then, as Rashi notes, you'll see in Dir Maskel Ve'eshikhan, the pasuk of Vishamru B'nei Yisrael as a Shabbos, Lasos as a Shabbos, only means when it's Vadai Lasos as a Shabbos. So the Gemara is saying that you can't derive the Svara of Chalal Shabbos Achas, Kedisha Yishmar Shabbos Harbe, from the Drasha of Vishamru B'nei Yisrael as a Shabbos, because that Drasha implies only when it's Vadai, Sheyishmar Shabbos Harbe. So the Gemara therefore comes onto an alternative Drasha of V'chaim Behem, V'lo Sheyamas Behem, but according to this Mahalach, what is the value of V'chaim Behem? So before we were saying, oh, V'chaim Behem, presumably, it encapsulates everything. You know, live by the mitzvos. And if you stop there, if everything is contained within V'chaim Behem, so then the only value at hand is Chaim, Kedushas HaChaim. But now we're saying that no, V'chaim Behem, live by them, but why? It's the same svar as we had in the earlier stage.
Oh, which?
Chalel Shabbos Achas, Kedei Sheyishmor Shabbosos Harbe. Exactly. We'll get this in a second. Exactly. So according to this pshat, again, Chalel Shabbos Achas Kedei Sheyishmor Shabbosos Harbe defines V'chaim Behem. And therefore, the pshat in the Shach B'Torah is that the Gemara wasn't rejecting the svara of Chalel Shabbos Achas, it was only rejecting the drasha from Mishamru B'nei Yisrael as a Shabbos, Lasos as a Shabbos, because that Lasos as a Shabbos implies Vade Lasos, as Rashi Dira Maskel Ve'eshkechan says. But, so the Gemara then rejects that in favor of the drasha of V'chaim Behem, but the pshat in V'chaim Behem is that we're rehabilitating the svara of Chalal Shabbos. Actually, the way it reads is V'chaim Behem, V'lo Sheyamas Behem, right, Kidei, or Chalal Shabbos Achaz, Kidei
Shabbos.
Exactly, Kidei Sheyishmor, Shabbos as Harbe. Oh. And
why should we say that it limits it? If V'chaim Behem by itself, it's nothing.
Oh, because basically, these Mefarshim don't think that the value of Kedushas HaChaim suffices. They think that the only, when they're reading this Gemara, the only value that they understand as being, you know, Roy, fit to be Doche Shabbos, is only the svara of Chalal Shabbos Achas. And according to this, this answers all the problems we had with the earlier approach. Because at the first time we said, according to the first approach, the first problem was that Chalal Shabbos Achas should be limited to Vata Bikuach Nefesh. But now we're saying, no, that once Chalal Shabbos Achas is stemming from the Makor, stemming from the Drasha of V'chaim Behem, the Drasha of V'chaim Behem is what expands Pikuach Nefesh to even Safek Pikuach Nefesh. And once the Svara of this Drasha of V'chaim Behem, which is Safek Pikuach Nefesh, once the Svara for that is Chalal Shabbos Achas, so now even Chalal Shabbos Achas expands to Safek Pikuach Nefesh. So that would help us with, like, you know, the Ran and the Ritzvah, who applied the Svara of Chalal Shabbos Achas even to a case of Uber, which seemingly, even if that case was a case of Safek Pikuach Nefesh. The other problem we had with the first approach was that, according to the first approach, Chalal Shabbos Achas should only be able to expand the scope, shouldn't be able to limit the scope, because according to the first approach, it was working alongside of a Chai Behem. But according to this approach, according to the second approach we're saying now, since the Svar of Chalal Shabbos Achas defines V'chaim Behem, so now there's only one factor, Chalal Shabbos Achas. So therefore that's both Lekula and Lechumra, both to expand and to limit. And therefore, since the only factor at hand is Chalal Shabbos Achas, so therefore whether that Svar is going to expand, like in the context of Ubar, right, or even though it's not Nefesh, still the Svar of Chalal Shabbos Achas applies, or even in the other last three cases where the Chalal Shabbos Achas factor limits and qualifies, you know, the scope of, right? For example, we had, you know, Tinuk Shenishba. That's where Chalal Shabbos Achas limits and says, oh, Tinuk Shenishba, even though it's a Chayim, even though it's a Nefesh B'Yisrael, since the Svar of Chalal Shabbos Achas doesn't apply, it's not going to apply. Or according to the Svar of Maichazis, again, it's where, according to that second day, Chalal Shabbos Achas is defining what is the value of Pikuach Nefesh. And then again for the Chayisha, where all these Rishonim are coming onto mitzvos, again, they're saying because without being mekayim the value of chalal shavas achas, you're not going to have the heter pikuach nefesh. Before we finish, just to cite two of the mefarshim that we had before, who seem to be take this approach that when they quote chalal shavas achas, it's not an additional factor, but that it really redefines and defines the factor of v'chaim behem. Is number one is the Yad Ramah. So if you look very closely back at the Yad Ramah's Lashon, and then we'll get to the Shaul and the Kriya Yeger, like Binyamin is Mechavim too. If you look back at the Yad Ramah, in his first line in the second day, he says as follows: V'yesh l'farish, shelo nitnu mitzos lidachos itzel pikuach nefesh. Right, the only reason why we have the heter pikuach nefesh is Ella, right, only. And then he goes on to explain why it's all about mitzvos. And he's saying the only factor at play here when it comes to the heter pikuach nefesh is the svara of chalal shabbos achas. Okay, not alongside another factor, but the only factor. So again, that's one indication that according to all these mefarshim, chalal shabbos achas is not like a second factor alongside of a chayav behem, but rather that chalal shabbos achas is the only factor. What do you mean it was rejected? No, because the maskana is now using the svar of chalal shabbos achas to define the chayav behem. And the other example in these mefarshim where we have this is exactly what Binyamin said, where I know, if you notice, Aaron, I had you stop when you were reading the Shaul and Kriya Yeger, right before the last line, that's because I was saving it for now. See the last, you know, see the af? Yeah. At the end of the second line, he basically writes, after the Shaul says, shouldn't apply, or the heter pikuach nefesh shouldn't apply to a tinok shenishba, because the svar of a chalal shabbos achas doesn't apply. So now, Shaul is obviously sensitive to the obvious question, what do you mean? Aren't I being solster of the Gemara, a pehe and a base? So has the answer, go for it. Question, right? Yeah. What do you mean, Shmuel lemaskana says the makor is v'chai behem, not Chalal Shabbos Achas? Answer is
Mistama lo palik b'ha'ala b'raita.
Mistama, these two deos aren't arguing. Right? Shmuel's v'chai behem isn't arguing on the fact of Chalal Shabbos Achas. So again, the pshat, especially in light of his shita, that right, he's using, he's one of the examples, he's the best example of a Chalal Shabbos Achas coming to limit, right? In the case where you're dealing with a Nevesh B'Yisrael, but again, it's all about Chalal Shabbos Achas. So by saying Mistama Lo Polik, he seems to be saying that they're not arguing, not because they work side by side, but rather Lo Polik because Hainu Hach. Because the Pshat, the Svara associated with the Drush of a Chai Behem, is the Svara of Chalal Shabbos Achas Kedei Sheyishbor Shabbosos Harpeh. So again, on that, I'm going to take all questions right now. But, yeah.